for today is just to finish off this topic of the Shamash, and then tomorrow to start Chazara, which should be roughly a one-week plan. Okay, so we had discussed a little bit yesterday the introduction to the theme of the Shamash, which seems to come out from our Gemara as possibly an obligation. Some would have debated whether that's true or not. And we had gotten up to the question of, we discussed briefly the question of whether what the Gemara is talking about is identical to the Shamash or not, is the additional candle of Shamash. I should mention that despite the fact that we saw yesterday that it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch that it's a different candle, the Shamash and the Ner Nosaf are two different things, and the Rama says, well, we just use the Shamash basically, and we discussed the Aruch HaShulchan's approach to how we're kind of reconciling different goals with our contemporary placement. There are those who have a minhag to use two shamashim. There are those who do both. And that is discussed in some of the later Sfarim. There are some who feel that there is some type of symbolism there. It's a little bit in a different realm. But just to establish that for the record, there is such a practice to both have an additional candle and to have the shamash that lights the candles. And by the way, the shamash of lighting the candles is, as we mentioned, this sugya is really the closest we get to the shamash in the sense that we use it, but there is a sugya on the next amud which relates to the bizui mitzvah sugya that we discussed a little bit in the context of Isser l'shtamesh la'ora, that there the Gemara talks about mavlikin miner l'ner, about whether you can use one candle and light for the other. So that is also part of the impetus to instead use a different candle to carry the flame to the candles. And again, that's where the shamash comes from. So we have a shamash in that sense, the one that's used to light the candles. And the machlokas, whether or not this ner nosaf that we're talking about here is identical to that shamash, or the same candle could be used for both. And the most common contemporary practice is that is indeed what we do, to have that lighting candle, shamash, used as the extra candle. But there are those who have a practice of having both, just to kind of square that with what we see. So in any event, so we started to talk about the question of what is the purpose of the candle to begin with. What is the purpose of the Ner Nosaf? So we saw that Rashi, quite clearly in a number of places, says that the purpose is Heker, that it should serve as some type of a sign that the candles that we're using are for the purpose of the mitzvah, which is very similar, and maybe even more similar than we might realize, to what the Baal HaMor said. That the Baal HaMor had said that even according to those, which happens to include him, that Paskin, that you're allowed to use the candles for something. I say something because he acknowledges Bizui Mitzvah as an Esser, but he just assumes that we Paskin Mutter L'shtamish La'ura in theory. But the Baal HaMor says that according to that view as well, you still need a shamash so that people won't say L'tzorcho Hu Da'adlik. So the Rashi is similar to that in talking about a hacker. There is a sefer called the Ner Yisrael. Actually just acquired this. The sefer is in the back of the sefer Hilchos Chag B'Chag. There's a prominent posek in Eretz Yisrael by the name of Moshe Mordechai Karp, who has an extensive series of Sfarim of Halachos on the Moadim and Shabbos. So he has Sefer Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos, Hilchos Chag B'Chag, and all the Moadim. We refer to him a lot in the context of the Malachos of Shabbos. He's a very prominent posek in Eretz Yisrael. So I saw that he has a Sefer on Chanukah, and in the back, most of the Sefer is a straight Halacha Sefer, but in the back he has a Lamdish Sefer. So in the Sefer, there's a kuntres in the back called Ner Yisrael, which is a Lamdish Sefer on Chanukah. And he has an essay about this topic, which we'll talk about in a second. But he suggests that Rashi's source that you need a heker is from the language of our Gemara, because you see our Gemara has the whole reference to a Madura. It says that if you have this bigger flame in the house, then you don't need an extra candle. And then the Gemara says that, but if he's an Adam Chashev, who is not want to use such a light for his work, so then he does need an extra flame. So what Rav Karp suggested is, why does Rashi is getting his idea from the Gemara? Why doesn't the Gemara say that the whole issue is whether or not you will actually use the extra flame. If you're going to use the flame for this purpose, whatever it is, so then that should be enough. But the notion that it's something you're likely to do, that it's associated mm-hmm. with what you would do, that perhaps is more focused on what others will perceive. Others will not expect you to use this, and therefore they won't factor it in. So maybe that's where Rashi gets his view that you need to have a hecker, that you need to have something that other people will look at and recognize. So even if you, the Adam Chashev, decide that you're going to start using this Madura, that's not going to help because it's not going to be perceived as a hecker. That's how he assumes that Rashi reads this idea of a hecker from the Gemara itself. He goes on to suggest that what essentially emerges is that we have basically a machlokus rishonim. Right? We have those rishonim who say that it's because of heker, which is also what the Ran kind of says. The Ran's position is a little bit of a hybrid, really. Right? The Ran says that we only need this shasa sakana when we put a candle on the table, we put the menorah on the table, so therefore we need this heker. But his language is a little bit of a hybrid. He says, now once it's on your table, you really don't have a choice. You're going to end up using the light. So he mentions the issue of Hishtamshus La'ura. So you should have a candle there as kind of a hecker. So he kind of combines the reasons, but it sounds like it's basically about the hecker. While others say that the issue is to allow usage of the light, which is the view of the Ritva, right, who says that you shouldn't even have a conversation there without having some type of a alternative light source, that even having a conversation there would be otherwise a prohibited usage of the light, and the Rashba, who says that that's the issue. Shmuley?
Once you have this new light there, mm-hmm. so does that create... I didn't understand what that meant exactly. Does it mean that now you're technically using new light, so you're not... It's not a mizvah mitzvah, or like the Ran, that it's heker, and therefore...
Right, it's a little not clear, that's the thing, and that's even in machlokas nowadays about what the light accomplishes. Does it mean you can now use everything without worrying, right. or means you only use that light? Or maybe we shouldn't even use that light, because using that light still will look like using the other lights. It's just there as kind of a advertisement that the other lights are not there for usage. So it is very vague, and it's vague lahalacha. So, but what seems to emerge here is that the other Rishonim, let's say the Rashba and the Ritva, who focus on the fact that you can't use the lights that are there already, that this somehow allows you to use everything. And the Ran is not really even focused on letting you use the light, just even without using the light, you should have this hecker there, that's what this is about. So what he suggests, question about that?
It basically touches back to my focus of Bizuni.
Yeah, it touches back, that's what Karp was about to say, that it touches on the whole question of what the Isser is about, right? This is really a direct parallel to the sugya that we had a few weeks ago, so it's a good way to kind of introduce the Chazar about this, which we'll do soon, about what the Isser of using the light is in the first place. That he wants to suggest that if you take the view of the Ran that seems to say that you can't use the candles at all, it's really because the Ran is l'shitaso. You have to see if this really works. It's a little bit imprecise. But that the Ran is l'shitaso, that the issue with using the candles in the first place is dumya to menorah. That since the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was off limits, so therefore our Hanukkah candles are also off limits. So then nothing's going to make them on limits. So the purpose of the candle is not to use the light, the purpose of the candle is as a hecker for what they're there for. It makes an interesting point. You see the Magen Avraham and others raise question. I don't remember if I put the Magen Avraham on the list, but I did put this other halacha on the list, halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, right, that you may have wondered, you probably saw where it was going in terms of how it was relevant, that the Shulchan Aruch has a din, Reish Tamach Vav around there, that if a non-Jew lights a light for you on Shabbos, so it's a problem to benefit from his malacha that he did for you. But if there's another candle next to it, so then that's okay. Then you can use everything. So it sounds like from there that having one other candle there is kind of what we call a tzliya, which you can kind of blame things on. You can say, all right, this candle is what I'm really focusing on. So you know, sometimes it was, I remember a joke my brother made, which kind of highlights his point. Is that we were discussing once, we had to stay somewhere on a Friday night in a place that was not expecting to host us. And the question came up, what would happen if somebody wanted to sleep in the room, if somebody had turned off the light on Shabbos, how could you benefit from the fact they turned the light off? So he said, well, maybe we'll just sleep next to the window and we'll use the dark from outside. So the same way you can't really identify that the darkness that you're using is coming from outside, so that was a joke, but sometimes light is like that also. Is it coming from here? Is it coming from there? I can see right now. Where is it coming from? So it could be that if you have one extra candle, you find in terms of benefiting from somebody's prohibited malacha, that'll do it. Okay, your light is coming from the extra candle. So why is the Ran not willing to say that here as well? One extra candle does it. So he explains the Nei Yisrael that it's a different issur. That there it's just about benefiting from the prohibited malacha. Okay, so here we can say the benefit's not coming from there. But in the case of the menorah, if you want to say that the issur is that the whole menorah is off limits because of its parallelism to the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, so then the extra light's not going to help unless you're genuinely not using these lights at all. And maybe that's the view of the Ran. You also got a question about that?
I was wondering why if you had the opportunity to assume that maybe you're benefiting with light of the other candles from the Muthers, why do we lean that way and not say, well, maybe I'm benefiting from the light from the candle at all?
Because the reality is that if you're going to use anything nearby, so then you're benefiting from all the lights.
Right, so therefore, I mean, now that it's a part of the whole conglomerate, maybe I shouldn't be letting you benefit.
Well, that's what it sounds like from the Ran, that if you're focusing on Hecker, then it's really that you're not going to be using it, which is the way some understand. It's a little bit ambiguous, as Shmuley was saying. It's a little bit ambiguous what we do nowadays in terms of using it or not using it. So there does seem to be a machlokas here. Does having this candle here allow you to use the light? Or do you say no, that even once the candle is there, it's really there for a hecker, and it's not there to necessarily allow you to use the light? Question again?
Yeah, how do you quantify the light? Because
you can't.
There's really no quantifying, right?
Because right, that's exactly
so
the problem.
You have the candle for hecker, and then you have like four candles, it's a third item time, so you have, well, depending on which shenanigans you do, right? Okay, so you have three candles. Right. So, I mean, how can you say you can use the light if there's more light coming from the...
Yeah, so that touches upon a bunch of questions, which are all a little bit vague, lahalacha. And just to give an example, we're going a little bit out of order because you're bringing it up now. I'll just mention it now. So, first of all, you do find the Shari Tshuva mentions that maybe if you're going to use the light, maybe you have to do it in such a way that you davka tilt whatever you're looking at towards the shamash to make it clear that that's what you're doing. Others raise the question of, should you have, first of all, lahalacha, what happens if you have a lot of menorahs in one room? Is it okay to have one shamash, or do you have to have one shamash per? And that raises the question that you're asking, which the Ramah discusses in his tshuva, which is in Siman Pei Aleph. I didn't actually send it around, but if you want to look it up, it's on HebrewBooks.org, Siman Pei Aleph in the Tshuva's Ramah, where he's also a little bit vague the way he discusses it. The thrust of his tshuva, which is what's quoted more often, if you read the whole tshuva, you'll see there's more to it, but the line that's quoted more often is the point we discussed yesterday, that the question of, do you need a shamash everywhere or only when it's on your table? Right? Some of the Rishonim say you only need it when it's on the table, and the time of the Gemara, if they lit outside, then you wouldn't need the shamash. So the Ramah talks about that, and he basically says, not that that's not true theoretically, but in practice, we basically have the shamash everywhere. But then, before he gets to that point, he discusses the question that should you have, if you have a couple of menorahs, should you have extra lights? And there he discusses that the truth is, like you said, but every night you're going to have more mitzvah candles than shamash candles, so maybe you could say that should be enough, that one candle does it, regardless of how outnumbered it is. So it is a little bit vague, and his conclusion there is a little bit vague. But there are different possibilities of how we relate to what kind of an impact this has. So it seems like it's a machlokas. Does this one candle allow you to use it? Now you might say again, well, the Gemara says you can use it because tzarech ner l'shtamish ba'orah. But then we saw yesterday also the Gra takes those words out. So maybe if the Gra is right, then Rashi is right, then you need that candle not to use the light, but to have a hecker. And maybe that's what it means. So that's still somewhat of an open question, and it could come out that the Ran and the Tzei Rashi are focused more on a hecker and not necessarily allowing you to use the light. Hi.
With multiple menorahs, in terms of having multiple shamashes, can you say it's taloi on the whole machlokas? Because if it's about hefker, so for each menorah, you would probably need one to show a stop for mitzvah. But if it's about usher l'shtamish, so then everyone can use one communal one.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable position to take. It's true that it'll serve the purpose for a lot of menorahs at once. But if the idea is that you want to identify it as Ner Mitzvah, so then maybe people will think the extra menorah is the Ner Shulchan. So it makes sense that each one, you would need some type of identifying point. So Rashi's opinion here, kind of in between, Rashi gets a lot of attention. Why is he talking about Hecker instead of the more standard L'shtamish L'ora views? There are those who maintain, including the Vilna Gaon, in Hilchos Shabbos. I think I put this on the Maamar Komus in the Bir Hagra. So he assumes that Rashi actually is like the Baal Amor, that Rashi actually holds its mutter l'shtamish l'ora. And therefore Rashi doesn't focus on this when he talks about the shamish. Just like we said, the Baal Amor maintains that even the Manda Amar, mutter l'shtamish l'ora, you need a candle to show that it's not your private candles. So too, maybe that's basically how the Vilna Gaon understands Rashi's position here. That it's there, even though it's mutter, you use the candles, but you need a hecker. So therefore, that's the purpose of the candle. And so Rashi talks about hecker because Rashi isn't even concerned about an isser hishtamshus l'ora, which is surprising. That's not the general understanding of Rashi's view. I don't know why you necessarily have to come onto so much, because if you recall, we discussed this. Again, it's a good chazara opportunity. We discussed this in the sugya of the Isser L'shtamish L'ora, and we suggested an interpretation for that Rashi at the top of the Amud, which kind of works well with this. It actually all sinks in pretty smoothly. That we asked, when the Gemara says, according to the position, Isser L'shtamish L'ora, which most of us paskin like, and we'd assume that Rashi is one of them too. So there Rashi says, because we want it to be nicker. Right? Remember that it won't be recognizable otherwise. And we posed the question at the time that it's an unusual position because you don't usually have a hecker from something you don't do. Mm. You have a hecker from something you do. So how do you expect somebody to recognize what's going on based on 24-hour surveillance, noticing that you never do something? It's not really an efficient plan. Normally a hecker comes because you do something positive. So we suggested at the time that maybe what Rashi means is because there's an Isser L'shtamish L'ora, so therefore you'll have to make a shamish, and you have to have this extra candle, and the extra candle will be a hecker, and therefore it all comes back to the Isser creates a hecker because of that step in the middle. So if that's the case, it all works out here as well. I think it's all a pretty consistent position that Rashi is saying that you need extra candles in order to serve as a hecker, an active hecker, as a consequence of the fact that you're prohibited from using the candles because it would otherwise look like they're your private candles. I think it all kind of works, but there is some extensive discussion about this Rashi. The Gra, the Pri Chodesh has a discussion about it as well. Why does Rashi have to come on to this whole hecker view? While the other Rishonim who say it's about the Issur L'shtamish L'ora, and that this is to allow Ishtamshus L'ora, so they presumably are more of a view that the Issur is something other than Dumi the Menorah. That's what Rukarp suggests. He notes, though, that the Rashba does talk about Dumyu de Menorah, but he gives two reasons. He also gives the reason of Bizwe Mitzvah. So he suggests that one defines the other, that Bizwe Mitzvah defines the Isser to use the Menorah. If you recall, he doesn't say it this way, but we discussed how Ruch Molshin and his Sefer Yerach HaMoladim understood that there are different versions of the Menorah theory, that the Baal Amor was the one who really held the Menorah theory in an absolute sense, but doesn't hold like that Lahalacha. While the other Rishonim invoke it in a little bit less of a absolute sense. So he suggests that the Rashba mentions the menorah, but he means it still that you shouldn't disrespect the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, you shouldn't disrespect the menorah in your house. So Bizwe Mitzvah is the controlling type of usage. So if you have something like an extra candle, which will account for the Bizwe Mitzvah, that will do it. That will take care of your problems. So it emerges again that you basically have this focus as to what the purpose of this candle is. Is it there for a hecker, or is it to allow Hishtamshus L'ora? There is a nice sefer, which I also recently acquired, called the Moedim L'Simcha, where he goes through all the months of the year, and he has long essays about a few select issues of every month. So he happens to have not so much about Hanukkah because he's very select, but he has a whole chapter on the history of the Shamash, everything about the Shamash, and he suggests that there are various nafkaminas of this reasoning. One is, again, the question mentioned a minute ago, or a version of it, that if, let's say, you have a purpose that means a lot of light, that a lot of light that's going to be more than you could reasonably expect to get from one candle. So you're going to clearly be drawing on the other candles. So again, is it just about the hecker, or is it about that we can't let you use those candles? And the other position he asks is, what happens if you don't do this? Let's say you light the candles without a shamash in a situation where you're clearly obligated to. So should we say that, all right, we didn't end up using it, so it's okay? Or should we say, no, that there's an obligation of the hecker, and like the question we posed yesterday, maybe this becomes a fundamental part of the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah, and maybe you're not Yotze, maybe you got to go back and do things again. Like, what should you do later? Should you just add an extra candle so you can use it if you want to, or does it have to be part of the hatlaka process, which is a question other Achronim raise as well, that you should have to have this there at the time of the hatlaka, and you should have to have this with all of the candles there present. That would also probably be a nafkamina of this story. Nafkamina of the question of what exactly the purpose is. So again, in terms of practice, so you find different approaches as to how to deal with this. Are you able to, Magen Avraham does say about the previous point, it says, Lamaisa, if you don't have a shamash, let's say you only have enough candles for that night, then you're still Yotze without the shamash, you should still light whatever you have, which probably is also an outgrowth of this question. Is it a basic requirement, in which case you might say you're not Yotze without it, or is it just there to allow you to use the light, so in which case maybe you could say, all right, so I won't use the light, but I'm stuck, these are all the candles I have, so that should be enough. Which I didn't see so much of a discussion, so I have to look more carefully, is what if you have to make a trade-off between Mahadran and the Shamash? You could pose that question as well. And that is the Shamash more or less important than the Mahadran candles? Which draws on both of our recent sugyas. You know, what exactly is the function of either? Do we say that the Mahadran becomes a part of the candles itself, or do we say that the Shamash becomes a part of the candles itself? And if you have to choose one or the other, what are you going to choose? And then we can make the question a little bit more complicated. Maybe we'll say, all right, it's one thing on the second night of Hanukkah. You have two candles. So you can either light Mahadran or you can light with a Shamash. But what if it's the third night of Hanukkah and you have three candles? So you could either light with a Shamash and then you'll only have two, which goes back to the whole focus we spoke about. Is there any value in lighting more than one if it's not the Mahadran number? So you can make the question very complicated if you want. It'll all come out from there. Hi.
Shouldn't we say that you should light the Shamash just in case, asking like it's a hacker and you need it, otherwise you might not be able to, like, because you never need it.
Right, so that's why I think there is this big tzad to say like that, that if you take this view that it's a real chiyuv, and that even if it's a real chiyuv, there's still two ways to say it. You could say it's a chiyuv because of the Yisrael Shamash lower, so it's a functional chiyuv, so you have to do it if you can, but if you don't, you still have something. Or you could say it's a chiyuv that really becomes part of Neres Chanukah, and then it would seem to be a stronger case. You know, so if you really would take the view that without it you're not Yotze, then it would seem like that's more important than Mahadran. So that would seem to... It's interesting that it's certainly in the extensive literature about not having enough candles, you don't find, as far as I recall, much reference to that, that one of the candles, maybe you have a candle, but it has to be set aside for the Shamash purposes. It's also a question Post can talk about, what if you have other light in the house? So if you already have other lights, could that suffice? And especially nowadays, what if you have electricity on in the house? So does that help? So Chaim Kanievsky was quoted as saying that even with electricity in the house, you have to have an extra candle, which is understandable because it's a hecker. Shlomo Zalman is quoted in a way I don't 100% understand. He's quoted as saying that nowadays, if you have electricity in the house, you don't need a shamash l'kol echad. So I assume he means that you need, if you, let's say you have a bunch of menorahs, maybe you need one, but not for each menorah. I'm not 100% sure what he means by that, l'kol echad. It doesn't sound like he means you don't need any shamash at all. I'm not 100% sure what exactly the limitation is. But it's interesting, the Achronim who talk about this, so many assume that it's comparable to Madura. Right? The Gemara says that if you have a Madura, then you don't need this extra candle. So if you have electricity in the house, maybe you should be able to suffice with electricity. So in the Sefer Nitei Gavriel, it's a popular halacha sefer, Gavriel Sinner is a big posek. So he quotes an opinion which he doesn't accept. He says that maybe electricity is not really comparable to Madura. What's the difference? That the Madura, you could take flame from also. You could see from its light, but you could also take a flame from it. And electricity you can see with, but you can't use it to get fire. So he rejects that distinction. He says, who cares? Whoever said that the Shtamshus Laur is about taking from the fire? Presumably it's about seeing with it, so electricity should be enough. But the Sefer Moedim L'Simcha that we mentioned a few minutes ago, he thinks that is a relevant discussion. He's not so sure that the electricity is really comparable to Madura for that reason. And that would explain, again, the attitude of those who are machmir and say that even if you have lights on in the house, you still need an extra light for this purpose. Whether it's a hecker, if a hecker, it would seem you certainly need the light, because the lights that you have on your house all the time would certainly not seem to be a hecker that anything is significant. But if even if the idea is for hishtamshus, doesn't have to necessarily have to be so visible, but he suggests this chumrah that maybe hishtamshus has to be all the hishtamshus of a flame, and a electric light only has one of them. Hi.
So, I mean, I feel like with electricity, that would be the perfect solution, because it's obvious that you're not... It's obvious that you're not using those lights, the hot lights for reading or any other use.
If your house is suffused with electricity, I guess it depends how much electricity. I mean,
well,
theoretically,
let's say these lights are on, we light the norm here.
Right.
Okay. How much more obvious do you think it would be?
I guess, you know, if you're assuming that it doesn't add anything.
It just works from the hacker perspective, because it's obvious that.
Maybe. I guess it depends how much electricity it is. I guess theoretically you're right. It should be clear enough under most... probably in the earlier days electricity was more expensive and rarer. You could have one light bulb in the house, but it's still pretty dark. So probably a little bit of question of degree how much of a hecker it is. But, okay.
He's talking about the actual nature of the light, so maybe he's trying to get around electricity because it's not real.
We just, in terms of the functionality, saying that the functionality is not 100% the same as a flame. So we'll eventually get into the discussion, because very nogeya lemaisa, of using electricity for Hanukkah candles themselves. You know, that maybe there's a strong side that that may work. We can get to that, and we talked about that as a good etza for the airplane situation. But here, just this other role of a hacker, so that's an interesting question, what role it plays. Hi.
If we say that electricity helps out the Ishtamshus sister, then now it's clear they're going to be using the big fat electric lights. So what about with Shabbos candles? Doesn't that undo all the Shalom Bayis benefit you get from your Shabbos candles if you have big electric lights on in the room also? And that shows that you're not using it.
Well, it's actually, yes, well, it doesn't undo the benefit, it just means you have the benefit from elsewhere. So that's a complicated question also. We're not really holding this figure right now. But the question of electric lights for Shabbos candles is itself a whole sugya, and it's very likely that electric lights could work for the purposes of Friday night candles, and even casts a little bit of a shaila whether or not you can turn on your lights for Shabbos and also make a bracha on Ner Shabbos for that reason, that maybe you are accomplishing it through, and that's accommodates also for people in hotel rooms and other such settings where they can't light candles. So it's not at all, it's probably more likely that it works for Shabbos candles than it works for Hanukkah candles. It's possible it works for both. So that's a whole discussion to have itself. Before we run out of time, I just want to mention a few other points, because we do want to end this again today. But it's also interesting, we mentioned the whole struggle about whether this shamash could be close to the candles, farther than candles, what exactly we're trying to accomplish. So the idea that it should be set aside a little bit, you find the Beis Yosef says to be set aside, because if you're going to use it, so then you don't want to be coming to use the Ner Mitzvah candles. So therefore you need a little bit of distance between this candle and the other candles. And the Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, writes that a different concern, that it's a concern that you're going to mess up the whole minyan, right? The same concern if you really want to build a l'shitaso here, right? So we know that Rama was the one who said the Mahadran that everyone lights their own candles, and we assume maybe that he was motivated by preserving Heker, by preserving the ability to perceive what's going on. So he's worried that having a candle too close to the other candles is going to mess that up. So again, our current attempt to satisfy everything by having it somewhat different in size, making it longer. The Rama in Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Mordechai that maybe you should use longer candles. All of these different suggestions are there to kind of have both, that it should serve all these purposes at once. That's an interesting discussion itself. The Magen Avraham points out something which is only really relevant to people in the household, but maybe Bizman Hazeh, that's our focus anyway, that in the household they see that you lit the other candles with this candle, so they understand that it's not Minaminyan. They understand that it's a separate candle and it's not going to confuse the count or confuse what candles are for which, because the household members saw that you used it for other purposes. So it's an interesting question of itself. So again, the whole question that we kind of started with about is this considered to be part of the Neiros Chanukah or not? So there are some nafkaminas about this. There's a little bit of discussion in the Sefer Yerach HaMoadim and others. In the Shuvas Dei Haaretz, he poses the following question. He says, let's say you have somebody who puts his shamash in and his candles in the menorah, and then he makes the bracha, and then before lighting any of the actual Hanukkah candles, he lights the shamash. So is that a hefzik? Which would really seem to flow from this question. Essentially, should you say that this is part of the Hanukkah candles, or is this something separate? So his inclination, the Tshuvas Dei Haaretz, his inclination is to say that it is a hefzik, that he thinks it's a completely chol candle, it's got nothing to do with anything, and therefore to have that in the middle of the bracha, especially if you wait a little bit, and then move on to the Hanukkah candles, he thought is really a hefzik. Lamaisi says he's not ready to pasken that way, and presumably it would also be a suffik brachos. He doesn't focus on that component so much. He doesn't actually say to do that. But his inclination, Misvara, is to say that to have the shamish in between the bracha and the candles is actually a hefzik because it's a different purpose. It's really something else. It would also be relevant to the question, which he talks about in the Yerach HaMoadim, about whether you have a need to have the shamish continue after a half hour. You have to leave it there. That if the purpose is the Yisr L'Shamish La'ora, so we assume that the Yisr L'Shamish La'ora continues as long as you have it lit, even if it's past the half hour. But if it's there to be a heker, so maybe that's an affirmative need you only need while you're being Mekayim the mitzvah. But then he concludes, Lamaisa, as we saw, that presumably there is some mitzvah component in keeping it going as long as it's going. So therefore, it's hard to imagine that you really would want to extinguish the shamish or remove it during that time, even if it goes past the half hour. Hi.
We say that we would have the same Ayin Yafa Shura requirement for the shamish to put it 30 minutes worth of oil in it.
So that gets to another interesting question. So not necessarily the Ayin Yafa component, but the Sefer Moedim L'Simcha, when he talks about the same question that the Yerach HaMoedim talks about, why is it that we only have noise in this room and we're the exact same distance in the other room? For some reason, this must be the door.
The vents, right?
Yeah, the vents, I guess. Because it's the exact same proximity. All right, any event. So he takes as a davar pashut there, which is an interesting point. But he says there's a chumrah of the shamash that's not true by other candles, because he assumes that you would say kaf lezakukla by the shamash, that the other candles, if they go out, lo zakukla, although we saw that Mahadran's a little bit confusing as far as that's concerned. But the shamash, if it goes out, presumably kaf lezakukla, because the whole point is to have it there as a heker for the other candles. So at least during that first half hour, he assumes that you should have to have relit. After the half hour, that's a little bit of a machlokas, and there's an extensive literature about it. But while it's lit, maybe you should have an obligation to have it there. There is also a shaila you could ask, which, let's say, for example, if you take the position of the Avnei Nezer, that you need a kli for the menorah, you need a kli for the Neiros Chanukah, does the shamash have to be in a kli? Does the shamash have the same ner requirements as the other candles? And that's a big shaila. And here you also find the svar in both directions. For example, without getting into this because it's the whole story, but the Maral of Prague, was against wax candles. So then the shaila is, does that kpeda, if you have such a kpeda, or if you have the kpeda to have a kli like you have the nezer, does that extend to, does that extend to the shamash? So on the one hand, you might say yes, because it has a status like the other candles. On the other hand, you might say all the better, that if you do have a practice not to use wax candles for the menorah, then since we want to distinguish the shamash from the other candles, maybe take you should davke use something like that for this purpose, to kind of highlight how different it is. So that's also a discussion that you find in this farm that seems to revolve around this point. And we'll just mention one final point that's also very interesting, that here the whole function of the shamash is to be the opposite of the other candles, in the sense that you can't use the other candles, and this you can use, and is there to be used. But at the same time, you find a number of svarim discussing that maybe the shamash should be treated with some type of kedusha, should be treated as some type of holiness. So, for example, you find this both in the halachic svarim and a little bit more in the chassidish svarim and in the ramazim svarim. But they suggest that even though you can use it, but you shouldn't use it for Tashmish shall be Zayin, you should only use it for holy things, you should only use it for learning, you should only use it for dignified usages, that maybe, even though it's there to be used, but maybe it still has some type of a Kedusha mitzvah status and should be treated as such. And in some of these farim, they point out that there is all kinds of imagery and ramazim to be found in all the candles, found in the shamash. They quote various psukim, that to have the word lo in it, the pasuk in Iyov, something like asrafim ha'umdim imal lo, that Haril quotes that pasuk, lo is lamed vav, is a reference to the 36 other candles, and this one stands above it. This has a important place in the whole pantheon. And some of the svarim point out that Shamash has the role of the Kohen Gadol, right? The Kohen Gadol is the one lighting the menorah, so the Shamash is the candle that's used to light all the other candles. It's as if he has the imagery, he's like a sculpture, so to speak, of the, not a graven one, but a sculpture in some sense, a statue of the Kohen Gadol. So there is a chashivus to this candle, that we shouldn't treat it with a derech bizayin, that we should recognize a certain type of kedusha. So again, there is some discussion about that, about any status that should be given to this candle, which again, I think ties into this overall question of, is there a Ner Chanukah status to the Shamash, even though its function is different? So just to quickly sum up the main points we spoke about today, not necessarily in detail, because we're almost out of time, but the question of whether the focus is Heker or Isser L'Shamash L'Ora and the Heter through this, the Rashi's position of Heker, where he gets it from the Gemara, and whether, like the Vilna Gaon, maybe he holds actually Mutter L'Shamash L'Ora, is that a possibility? We discussed that actually just fits well with the way we understood the earlier Rashi on the Amud in terms of that whole sugya, and that's very possibly what he's getting at here. And the question of whether this candle actually lets you use the other candles, or there's still an Isser, but this is a Heker, which, as the Sefer Ner Yisrael points out, could depend on whether you believe the Isser is based on being compared to the menorah or something else. And we discussed some nafkaminas of that question. For example, what happens if you didn't light a shamash? What happens if you can't light a shamash? What happens if you don't have enough candles to light a shamash? And related issues. And then we got into also the other questions about, to what extent are we allowed to use the other candles? How does it help? Or is it some type of a tliya? How does it compare to other areas of halacha where you're not allowed to benefit from a candle? And then the question of what nafkaminas there might be of considering it a part of Neres Chanukah, such as, is it a hefsek if you light the shamash in between the bracha and the candles? Does it have to be lit the entire time that you have the other candles lit? Should we even be machmir to say kavsa zakukla during the half hour? And the question of, does it have the same requirements as the other candles? According to the minority views, that there are such requirements, for example, that it has to have a kli, or that it shouldn't be wax, etc., etc. And then we discussed also this possibility that there's some level of kedusha to the shamash, and different ramazim and different themes that are contained therein, which again suggests at the same time as there is this opposite function from the rest of the Neiros, is there davka to be used, but still that doesn't necessarily take away from the fact that it's part of this whole mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah and has a status that corresponds to that. Okay, so again, our agenda is tomorrow. We'll start Chazar. I think we'll basically do it throughout the week.